I'm Ellen Mary.
And I'm Michael Perry.
And he's a plant geek.
And she's a plant addict.
And this is the Plant-Based Podcast.
This is more than just a gardening podcast. We'll be exploring the world of plants from every possible angle. We'll be talking about plant-based diets, plant materials and fabrics, the well-being qualities of plants, and giving plenty of gardening tips and tricks.
So we'll be chatting worldwide to companies and individuals that are being creative with plants in new and exciting ways, from fabulous flower crowns to foliage-filled lounges,
botanical moisturizers to bamboo clothing.
It's all here.
And it's all made of plants.
This episode of the Plant-Based Podcast is brought to you by our friends at VeggiePod. Their integrated raised vegetable garden bed kit makes growing vegetables easy for everyone. With self-watering features and protective canopy, with VeggiePod, you'll be harvesting your own produce in no time. Available in three sizes to suit any garden. Visit veggiepod.co.uk and enter PBP10 for a special discount as a PBP subscriber.
Hello, we're here with Rebecca Hall from Botanic Lab, which is a functional drinks company, and we're going to learn all about the range of plant milks, juices, and interesting versions of tea, and a little bit of CBD as well, and you'll find out more about what that is very shortly. But we'd like to introduce Rebecca. So hi, welcome to the podcast.
Hi there, thank you for having me.
Yeah. Hi Rebecca.
Hi.
So Botanic Lab, I've tasted some of those juices, and we're actually interviewing you today in Waitrose Cafe.
We are,
where
yeah.
They're stocked as well. But tell me, how did it begin? Because what is your background? Take us right back to the beginning and the whole journey of Botanic Lab.
Right back to the beginning. Well, my professional background is as an investment banker, which I know is not the most popular profession these days. But I started this business because, as I said, I'm an unashamed capitalist, and I wanted to build a brand.
It's good to be honest.
And, you know, drinks, and particularly health-based and plant-based drinks, are a huge growth area, both in the UK and globally. So it was an area where I felt there was lots of opportunity for a small brand to really compete with some of the big behemoths that do things slightly differently. And also I have an interest in this area. I'm a yoga teacher. I'm interested in health and well-being. I'm interested in the way that food production has changed so much over the last 60 years, and some of that good, some of that bad. So it's, a kind of keen interest of mine.
Okay, and what does the range now include? Because when I tested it about a year and a half ago, you had a range of plant milks and juices, but I think you've actually opened it up a bit wider than that recently, haven't
you? We have, yeah. I mean, when we started the business 5 years ago, we launched a range of cold-pressed juices, and cold-pressed juice at the time was very novel and a very new thing that was in the States. That product offering has evolved somewhat over the last 5 years to include different kinds of drinks like plant milks, so plant-based non-dairy drinks, and now, more interestingly, tea-based drinks, which all have a tea component to them, but also have other interesting functional plants in them, which I'm sure we'll talk a bit about more
about
later.
So tea in the form of cold tea or kombucha-style tea?
No, so kombucha is a brewed fermented tea. We use cold tea. So the UK historically isn't a drinker of cold iced tea products. It's more of a kind of a US European product, but I think tea has become very popular recently, and it's, you know, one of the oldest functional plants there is that people have drunk for centuries. So I find it a very interesting plant and ingredient to work with.
So are they designed to replace other day-to-day drinks? Is that the intention?
Yeah, I mean, the premise of what we do is that drinking and eating now, people don't do it just to stop them being hungry and stop them being thirsty. They do it for lots of other reasons, for pleasure, for function, and that's a bit where we really major in. But we like to try and join those two things together. So when you're out having a social drink, if you're not drinking alcohol, why can you not be having a drink that is interesting, functional, has lots to talk about, potentially the most interesting drink in the bar, but is also
absolutely
good for you. So good for you doesn't necessarily have to mean boring. So we're trying to bring all of those different things together so that drinking experience is a lot bigger than it used to be when you kind of were either drinking beer or water or tea.
I really like that, you know. Mm. I can put the gin away and have a Botanic Lab.
Yeah, because sometimes when you're sitting there in a bar or somewhere and people are drinking alcohol around you, you want something that's a little bit fancy, not just a glass of Coke.
Yeah. You want to be interesting, and also I think typically, you know, in the last 20 years, functional drinks have tended to not be that good for you. So mm-hmm. if you think about the sort of the most common functional drink that we all think about is Red Bull, mm-hmm. which is an energy drink that people take because they need that energy boost, or, you know, they might be drinking it with alcohol or whatever. But that's the sort of the quintessential functional drink. So why can't you have that function in something that tastes better and also is natural and not made from synthetic ingredients and is also good for you? So
it's a great talking point. You know, it gets people talking when you have something different.
Absolutely.
And, definitely.
You know, Red Bull have done such an amazing job of creating an interesting brand. And historically, plant-based brands are quite boring. You know, I think about the old health food stores that I used to walk down the aisles
of. Oh, the V8 juice, the vegetable juice that used to be in Holland and Barrett, wasn't
it? Exactly, and they all have such a a similar branding and similar approach, which is very worthy, it's very green. But actually, why can't those brands be much more exciting? And that's what we try to bring
yeah, to. And I love how it looks as well. The design of your bottles, kind of cartons, is very eye-catching too, and very modern and sleek.
Yes, I hope so. I hope so.
Okay. I find it very interesting, I might add, because it's all about plants. So how can it be any more interesting? It's so interesting. You know?
It's also nice. You're a plant enthusiast, so obviously it's something that you would catch your eye. But for the average Joe who's not a plant enthusiast, it actually brings something to them that they might not otherwise have had exposure to or access to. And part of that is cultural as well. So we try and use ingredients that not only have a function, but also have a cultural relevance in a certain part of the world. So tea is particularly culturally relevant here. And in other places, but things like yerba mate that we use are in South America an institution. So that we like them to have a story that we can talk to that heritage and talk to how it's been used historically, but then bring that very much into the 21st century. So we're sort of taking very historic and ancient plants and bringing them and updating them into formats and with a brand image that's very 21st century.
It's really fun. It's really, really interesting. Do you only do kind of blends and mixes, or do you do some kind of pure, you know, sometimes you see charcoal shots in shops. Do you do pure lines
We never do anything simple. Okay. A part of the brand is the complexity.
Well, there are other people doing that out there anyway.
People can do it. And to be honest, you know, what we can do, am I going to be the person who's going to be able to bring you the best value in a shot of carrot juice? Probably not, because of the size of the business. You're going to have to pay an extortionate amount of money for me to do that. However, what I can bring to you is innovation and complexity and those kind of things, which your average innocent or Coca-Cola is not going to do. So we serve a different purpose, I guess, for our consumer.
And are you working with Gliassa? Have you heard of that?
I have, we've done a lot of work with it, and we may well do more in the future. We have some, you probably know this, we have some interesting novel food laws here in the EU, which prevent some things like Gliassa being used until they have clearance. So it's something that we would certainly like to use in the future.
I looked at some of Amazon, though.
You can, so the laws are quite strange in that you can buy it in its raw state, but can't necessarily use it in food and drink until it's had further clearance. But so it's something that we're
really
definitely looking at.
It's a product because it's caffeine, but without the jitters.
Clean caffeine. Isn't clean
it?
Caffeine, yeah.
Clean caffeine.
Caffeine without the jitters.
Yeah. Be great for you.
Gliassa tea and mate all have very similar similar uses and ceremonially similar ways to drink them, so they're all kind of plants that we're quite interested in how you
that's
can use
that's brilliant
them.
Before we move on, which is your favourite blend that you have created and sold?
Well, I mean, at the moment I'd have to say it was our CBD drink, just for lots of different reasons. It's I think culturally
CBD, what is CBD? Because a lot of listeners may not know that phrase.
Well, CBD stands for cannabis oil, which is an extract, one of the many extracts of the cannabis sativa plant, and cannabis will be something that people are familiar with and is very topical. CBD is an extract that has been isolated and demonstrated to have very significant health properties attached to it, but none of the psychoactive elements associated with THC, which is another
compound.
So
that's your favourite. We're going to talk a lot more about CBD in part two, actually, because it is one of those real...
One of those hot topics.
Oh, it my is. God, emojis, isn't it?
One of my favourite emojis. So let's talk a little bit more about the plant milk. How are they actually made? How do you
it? As with most products, they go through quite a lot of different stages of development. So when we first launched our plant milks, they were made fresh in our factory. They had a very short shelf life, and they were made using cashew nuts and lots of other different interesting functional plant ingredients. Now, the unglamorous side of manufacturing is that often with products, although they may taste amazing, they often aren't particularly stable. So that product, for example, would often have quite a short shelf life and would become quite fizzy towards the end of the shelf life. So we then developed that product to make it in a slightly different way and treat it in a slightly different way so it has a longer shelf life and is safer for the consumer. So we use, in the current form, we use coconut-based milks and we use chocolate and coffee as flavourings in them. And then we have functional plants like yerba mate and Demania, which you might know as a plant.
Demania.
So it's a leaf or herb that was used in Central America.
Got to Google now. Yeah.
It was historically an aphrodisiac.
Yeah.
So used to treat anxiety, impotency, to stoke sexual desire.
Oh, gosh.
To stoke it.
Yeah. So as a foil to coffee, it's quite nice because we use this really beautiful cold brew coffee, but at the same time we've got this natural leaf herb ingredient that lowers anxiety. So if you do get sort of jitters from caffeine, it's a nice foil to that. So
I'm really going to research that a little bit
so
more.
So we call it our cold brew with a bit of added zen.
Uh-huh. Is it here in Waitrose today?
It is, yeah. We're going to see it.
Pick one up, have one for lunch. Yeah.
Since I've been vegan, which is just last year, I've learnt to cook better anyway, but actually you can make your own milks and things, can't you? So it's
you can.
A process that you can do at home as well.
You can. It's quite laborious as a process and it takes a bit of commitment. But you can absolutely do it. And with the beauty of what we do is, because we use plant ingredients, you can pretty much universally make it all at home. The downside of that is it's time consuming, it's messy, and it's quite expensive as well. Mm. So
you mentioned cashew nuts; they're actually
really
expensive, aren't they?
So although most of our products are priced at a slightly premium price point, the consumer's actually getting quite good value for money given the ingredients that we're putting in there.
Okay.
Whereas, you know, if you buy a can of fizzy drink, you're buying sugar and water pretty much, which doesn't cost that much money to produce.
Yeah.
So
I'm always amazed that plant milks are so popular now, and they're even on TV adverts.
Yeah.
But I was actually buying plant milk when I was like 12 years old because I used to be going into the health food shops and I was always looking for something different.
Yeah.
I never liked the mainstream milks or anything.
Yeah.
Any type of food or drinks. I know.
Darling, aren't you?
I've been experiencing curdled soy milk in coffee since I was a teenager.
They've come such a long way since then, haven't they?
Absolutely.
There's so many of them available
and
now.
And so mainstream, which always kind of just blows my mind very quietly.
Well, we like to think we create something that's an added extra. We call our chocolate milk for grown-ups because it's, we don't create kids for drinks because they often have quite functional ingredients in there, but they're sort of chocolate milk with an added kick behind it.
That's really cool. One other thing I just want to touch on is cold pressing. I know some of your items are cold pressed juices. Can you explain to us really briefly the method of cold pressing and is it something people can do at home as well?
Yeah, I mean, cold pressing in itself is just a methodology. I mean, it's been sold to be the sort of bastion of health. It's not. It's a methodology that's existed for hundreds of years. It's how you make cider. So cider's made in a press. You put the apples in and you press them. The difference with cold pressing to another methodology for making juice like a centrifuge is that it doesn't create heat when it's pressed. So the weight of the pressure extracts the juice. And what that means is that the heat doesn't then kill any of the enzymes and vitamins present in the product.
Okay.
So the point of it is that you have a more nutritionally intact product at the end of it.
So there's a real health benefit to that.
Yeah. So it's, I guess the point is that most commercial old school juices that you find in the Tetra Pak on the shelf have been heat treated and therefore they don't have a lot of nutritional value but quite a lot of sugar in them. So that's the purpose
of it. Great. And obviously your products are now stocked just in the UK or overseas as well?
Just in the UK right now, but you will see them across Europe later in the year.
Okay.
So, that's exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting.
And I think you also offer a mail order service because I was staying at a friend's the other week and she had some of your CBD juice that we're going to hear a bit more about on her shelf at
home. I was going to ask her, how do you get hold of your products?
So we do offer a mail order service across the UK, but you can buy them in lots of retail sites in the UK. So Waitrose, which we're sat in at the moment, Ocado, you can buy them online in Amazon, you can buy them in Eat, you can buy them, shortly you'll be able to buy them in places like Co-op. There's lots of UK
so you can buy them bottle by bottle because I remember seeing that you can also order like a bundle of them.
Yeah, so online on our online store you have to buy larger amounts and you can buy bundles of different products for different purposes.
Can you pick and choose?
Pick and choose, yeah. And then in the stores you can buy them as single drinks items.
Okay.
That's really cool. Love it. And in part two we're going to find out more about that cheeky little CBD oil.
Actually, actually. You're slurping your Botanic Lab drink there, but that wasn't as loud as you usually are.
You get the goodness better if you slurp a drink. Come on. But these Botanic Lab drinks, we couldn't resist buying a few from Waitrose on the way out from our interview today. And they are, I have to say, I've learnt about Damiana for the first time, yeah, which is a plant that I didn't know existed before. And also, this chocolate yerba mate is, I don't know how to describe it, but it tastes silky.
Silky.
It's amazing.
Yeah, really good.
It really is. But it's been really great to chat to Rebecca and find out about how she started up the lab, and also to find out that a lot of the ingredients that these guys are now working with are ingredients that I was buying when I was a teenager in Holland and Barrett. So I think I was ahead of the curve with all this stuff.
And their CBD products, of course. I'm looking forward to trying some of those, definitely. Yeah, really interested.
Such weird taboo around cannabis, isn't there?
Yeah. And well, this is breaking that taboo.
Really is. But it's weird because when you drink this CBD drink, you almost feel a tiny, tiny bit of naughtiness, don't you?
Oh, I'm having cannabis, but not.
I'm drinking cannabis. I'm the cool guy. And I don't know, people imagine, like, I don't know, like my mother would probably be like, "Ooh, what are you drinking that for?" You
I
know,
think my mum would love it. She'd try it.
Really? Oh, no. My parents are always like, "Oh, God, that's weird. What are you drinking now? Why is that? What's that?" Ooh. So I think I might take some down and actually drink it in front of them. They'll probably imagine that I'll be stoned or like taking drugs. They'll probably accuse me of taking drugs.
They'll think that after all of these years, you've really rebelled against them.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I think it's really interesting because it is breaking some taboos. And it's interesting to think about the future for cannabis in general.
Yeah, and how it can be used in a variety of ways that can benefit our health.
Absolutely. You know. Controlled measures.
But Rebecca does speak about a lot of older people that are turning to cannabis oil. Yeah. Those people that probably would have felt the taboo much earlier. But, of course, with Botanic Lab, they're also addressing a very different taboo, which is, you don't drink. You know?
Oh, yeah.
So they're giving...
At the bar.
Alcohol-free options at the bar. Drinks that are more interesting, tasty, and doing a very similar job to what Seedlip are doing, but with botanics and kind of milky products too.
So when everyone gets the rounds of pints in and you say, "Oh, I don't know, I think I'll just have a tonic water or something like that."
Well, when you tell them you're having a Damiana cocktail,
which
is actually an aphrodisiac, then... Who's drinking the cooler drink?
Oh, yeah, and also, great topic of conversation. It gets people talking, doesn't it?
Exactly. It gets them more than talking. Yeah,
way up.
But it is. It's great to discover more about Botanic Lab and how they put it together, and also to dissect that cannabis CBD taboo a little bit more, which we'll do in part two. So we're back here with Rebecca, and oh gosh, why do I always get the tongue twisters? We're going to talk about CBD, which is cannabis oil. Is that right?
That's right, yeah.
But that's weird because people can mistake it as being oil, but this is not oil, is it? What is CBD, cannabis oil?
Cannabis oil is usually sold as an oil, and when it's extracted from the plant, it is in oil form. The difference is if we just put it into our drink as an oil. Oil and water don't mix very well to start with. And also as an oil, if you ingest it, it's not very bioavailable to the body. So we use a water-soluble version of CBD that allows it to be more bioavailable when it's digested.
Okay, so we mustn't confuse that with cannabis per se.
No, so cannabis oil, CBD, is an extract of the cannabis sativa plant. And there are lots of different types of cannabis plant. And the one that we extract from is something called hemp. And hemp is a type of cannabis plant that has a very low or no THC in it. And THC, I'm not going to tell you the long name for that because I can't do the tongue twister. But that's the psychoactive piece, the bit that everybody gets excited about. So we're using another extract from it. Yeah. And there are hundreds of them, by the way. But this is the one that has had a lot of research into it, into its impact on disorders like sleep disorders, like anxiety, treatment of chronic pain, and is very topical right now in the health and wellness sphere.
I mean, it's an anti-inflammatory, isn't it?
It can be used as an anti-inflammatory as well. A lot of athletes use it for post-exercise regime. So it is being used to treat ailments and illnesses. We're using it as a more broad-based wellness product and functional plant in what we're doing.
And it's obviously an ingredient that's become a lot more acceptable to use as well.
Absolutely. I think cannabis in general is such an interesting topic right now. And there's been a definite, certainly here in the UK, there's been a definite shift in public perception of it, in what it is, in how it's used, in whether it should be widely available. So there's really a cultural move, I think, from certainly when I was a youngster. And I always say it's interesting to see my parents' generation and their response to these things. Whereas 2 years ago, if I'd said we were creating a cannabis product, they would have looked horrified. Now they know what CBD is. They've seen it on the high street. They understand that some of their friends have taken it for ailments. So it's definitely become much more acceptable, which I think, you know, from my perspective, is a positive thing. It's a plant. It's one of probably the most famous functional plants has ever existed.
Everybody knows that plant.
They absolutely do, which is why we absolutely had to do something with it, because that's what we do. We make drinks with functional plants. But I find really interesting also the cultural element of that, where if you think about cannabis as a commercial product, it's always been cast in a very certain way, the sort of Bob Marley stoner. And actually what we're doing is very different. It's very premium, it's very wellness focused, and it's actually taking that and showing it in a very different light.
Okay, but why has this happened now? Was this CBD illegal to use before? Or has there been a change in the law?
There has, yeah. So it's about 2 years ago that CBD became legal here in the UK, and it's not universal across the globe. So
why
in the
was
States,
that changed then?
More research, more understanding, better methodologies for extracting this, and better understanding science, really. And also, obviously, politics plays a part in that. So you'll see different rules in different countries based on how conservative those governments are. And I think we will see a lot of change in cannabis regulation in the coming 5 to 10 years. As research evolves, as perceptions evolve, we're seeing it in the United States, where some states have legalized cannabis as a whole. We've seen here in the last year that cannabis has been made available on license for people with certain conditions. So I think there is a genuine shift.
There's a shift towards a bit more acceptance and understanding.
Understanding, I think. And I think it's a welcome thing to gain understanding of these things. And if a plant can be useful and used in health and wellness, or used in medicine, I think that's only a positive
thing. In a controlled environment and in a controlled way, then that's all good, isn't it?
Knowledge is power in these things. Yeah. So I think the more knowledge there is and the more research there is, the more comfortable a consumer can become about what they do. And from our perspective as a brand, we want to give more information. So we would rather there was regulation so that actually we can say exactly what we're doing and have it on the pack so people understand it. And anyone who's doing that in a irresponsible way should be allowed to do that. So
I actually know somebody who has celiac disease, and they've used CBD and can now eat foods that they haven't been able to eat their whole lives. And that's someone who is in the older generation.
There's lots of positive stories.
They're very
stories
open and understanding and appreciates it, and has completely reversed the problem.
There's still lots of confusion around what is and isn't allowed here in the UK. But what I've been surprised by is by mainstream retailers, the acceptance of it and the willingness to really jump on board and help to grow this category in a very responsible way.
Okay, that's really incredible. And how in Botanic Lab are you using CBD then? You've got a range of new drinks within,
I believe? They're about 6 months old. We have a range of what we call botanical tea drinks that are all built around a green tea ingredient. And then they build on top of that different functional plants. So we have a CBD variety, which is very popular right now. We also have a yerba mate variety.
Okay.
We have a demania variety that we spoke about just now.
Yeah, I need to research that one.
So these drinks are proving very popular at the moment, both as a refreshing soft drink, but also as an alternative to alcohol, a social drink. And we're finding them alongside energy drinks as well. So really, really interesting to see that's what the consumer
can it calm babies crying.
It would be good if it could,
because there is one behind us crying now. Sorry.
They don't need the caffeine based drink for sure.
Definitely not a caffeine based drink.
It's funny because my friend that had a batch of your Botanic Lab CBD drinks on their shelf, she didn't buy them because she wanted to have a CBD drink. She was actually searching for CBD oil, and it came up. Your company came up. So obviously it feels like you're one of the pioneers of this type of drink. Are you indeed the first?
We are, we're the first people to create a soft drink with CBD in UK and Europe. So one of the first, one of the first globally, I guess. So we are really pioneering this, and with that comes some responsibility as well. So we need to make sure we're doing that properly, and we're also doing it in something that tastes good and not just, not just jumping on a bandwagon. So we want to make sure they fit with the ethos of everything else we do, which is to create really interesting, tasty drinks.
Absolutely,
not just something with CBD in it.
Yeah, it's just part of what you're doing, just part for of wellness. Do you think some people may have reservations about it?
Absolutely. I think there are probably still people who see the word cannabis and are put off by that.
Immediately think of the worst.
Yeah, and to be honest, they're probably not our customer anyway.
Yeah.
Mm. Our customers tend to be quite adventurous.
Yeah.
They're interested in seeking new things. They are, you know, of a generation where they want to understand what the next new product is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think also the general public as a whole is developing and moving in terms of their understanding of these things. So I think that audience that we have is growing as well.
That's really great. I mean, on a kind of small scale, if someone is going to drink one of your bottles of, you know, your new CBD drink, will there be any kind of health benefits from doing that? Like, what goodness would it do? Is it calming, for example? Or?
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult territory to walk into that because we as a company create drinks that have are good for overall wellness.
Okay.
So we include an amount of CBD in our product that is good for what's called health maintenance. So if you take it daily, you should feel a general sense of calm, lower anxiety, those kind of things. Are you going to drink the drink and ultimately feel like you're going to kick back and relax? Probably not.
Okay.
But it's the same.
Because that could be people's perception, couldn't it? Because cannabis has a certain tag on it, doesn't it?
It does. Going back to like the Bob Marley
Absolutely. And that's absolutely not what we're doing.
No.
And that's the sort of THC element. But I guess it's the same as, you know, when you hear about the health benefits, for example, of tea, which has lots of antioxidants, L-theanine, those kind of things. Those are not, they're cumulative. So if you drink a cup of green tea every day,
which I'm hugging now,
I'm an avid green tea drinker, then you probably will feel the benefit of that over time. But is one cup going to have any significant impact? Probably not.
Okay,
it's a bit like aromatherapy oils, isn't it, really? You kind of have the general overall feeling of well-being rather than a big surge of it.
Yeah.
It's not like a can of Red Bull.
I'm sorry, I really dislike that stuff. I had a very bad night with Red Bull.
Really? I remember.
Vodka and Red Bull.
Well,
same. I think I had like six or something. I didn't sleep for a week.
And my heart felt like it was going to jump out of my chest. So I'm like, sorry, Red Bull.
I think we're moving into a time with food and drink where you want to know that what you're putting inside your body is not going to have an adverse effect.
Yeah.
On your health, well-being.
We've often said that on these podcasts about how people are far more conscious about what they're putting into their bodies, what they're doing with their lives, their impact on the world.
Absolutely.
All of that's one kind of big bundle
of
wellness.
And it's not just about sating your thirst anymore. Particularly for a slightly older generation who are probably feeling the effects of age, of having, you know, spent 30 years eating processed food, which was very popular over the last 30 to 40 years.
Potato waffles.
Yeah, exactly.
From your hometown, Ellen.
Bird's eye potato waffles.
Yeah, we all love a potato waffle, me particularly. But, I mean, that was seen as the next generation of food, these techniques that would allow mass production.
It's crazy, isn't it?
And we're going back to the beginning again now, which is less is more. Less processing, a better understanding of the origin of food and where it's come from. So, you know, we want to be able to appeal to a consumer who wants to trust that what's in that bottle is exactly what you say is in there. You can say it, you know what it is.
Yeah.
And that, you know, then maybe there's some functional benefit on top of that as well.
That's great. And how's it been received in the media as well?
Very well.
Yeah.
Obviously a lot of interest in it. I mean, we've had lots of people wanting to talk about the cannabis element, but also more interested in this aspect of wanting to have a drink that's not alcohol, that's interesting. Suddenly suddenly it's not frowned upon to be not drinking anymore.
And at the same time, cannabis is less taboo as well, so it's all kind of dovetailing very nicely.
It is. It's an interesting time for cannabis. It's an interesting time for plants, and it's a really interesting time for food and drink, I think, at the moment.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it is really brilliant. So thank you very much. Where can we find you on socials and your website and everything?
You can find Botanic Lab at Botanic Lab on Instagram, and I think we're at Botanic Lab Juice on Twitter. And then our website is www.botanic-lab.co.uk.
Okay, so the future is CBD.
Yeah, very interesting.
Very
thank
interesting
you very
space.
Much.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
La la la.
Okay, we're good to go, MP.
We're good to go.
We're good to go.
Ellen, can you tell the crowd why we're doing our gossip by Skype?
Oh, that's really unfair.
Is it because you lost it down the sofa? Well,
apparently we recorded the gossip for this podcast, but I can't find it.
She lost it.
And no one should ever put me in charge of anything technical, basically. But I don't actually remember...
You're in charge of everything technical.
Sorry about that. I don't remember actually having the conversation, to be fair. But, you know, we're just going to have a conversation all over again about CBD and its uses and,
yes, you know. Gossip all about CBD, and yeah, we'll talk about if we've used cannabis before, and I'll also tell you how annoying it is that everybody always thinks that the Acer Palmatum tattoo on my hand is a cannabis.
It does.
It's
look
not.
A,
it's
it
Acer
does,
Palmatum.
It does look a bit like cannabis, though, to be fair.
Your face looks like cannabis.
It did once upon a time.
Oh, but it is strange how cannabis is now in vogue again. And well, the world's going crazy for
CBD is in vogue, isn't it? But that's a different compound, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think people see them as one of the same.
Yeah, they do, definitely. You
know, they're obviously not.
But they're different, yeah, and they are very different, and that's why CBD is allowed and why it's legal to have it,
yeah,
because it isn't the same. It isn't the same strength. It isn't the same compound. But I do wonder if it will pave the way for legalising cannabis at some point.
Yeah, you know? It's really interesting, isn't it? I mean, I haven't even tested the oil, but you've got some, haven't you?
I have got some CBD oil, and I wanted to try it, but I was on antibiotics, and apparently using it with antibiotics isn't recommended. So I'm going to wait until the antibiotics are finished, and then I'll maybe try it and see how it goes. I mean, the only thing is, it's good for anxiety and nervousness and depression, that kind of thing, which I don't really suffer from. But it's
you're so cocky.
No, but I don't want to say.
No,
I don't. But
I'm
it's also
fine.
But it's also good for aches and pains and things like that. And the reason why I was going to take it is because I'd got bitten by a tick and had been diagnosed with Lyme disease. So I'd read up about it, and there are studies that have shown that CBD has worked brilliantly for Lyme disease. So
but you were already on antibiotics.
I was already
for that, I
on antibiotics. So
yeah,
I have to finish those. If I still have symptoms, then I'm going to try CBD. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
I like to try for some stuff, really. Yeah.
I mean, it's so good for many things.
I don't know what for. Yeah.
And, you know, aches and pains, I guess, arthritis. People have used it for cancers, all kinds of stuff. I guess, you know, it's all come from people who have said for many years how using cannabis medicinally has really, really helped them. You know, people who have epilepsy have cannabis, and not everyone, obviously, but some people have said that that's really, really helped the seizures. And so looking at cannabis, you know, to legalise it medicinally is something I think we should definitely be doing. Of course, you go places like Amsterdam, don't you? And it's everywhere anyway.
Of course. And I Amsterdam's my favourite city, and I really, really love the smell of... Did I cut out again?
No. That was intentional, that
one. It's because I don't want to confess to loving the smell of cannabis.
You love the smell of it. Do you really?
Yeah. I've never actually smoked a joint. I've just, like, smoked over someone's shoulder.
Hold on.
If you know what I mean.
Hold on a minute. You're about to hit your 40th birthday and you've never smoked a joint before.
No.
Oh, you're so pure. You're such a good boy.
So basic.
That's so good.
But I walked around Amsterdam and had the heady experience of kind of passive joint rolling, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, me too.
So, yeah.
Definitely. Because you can really, really breathe it in and kind of feel the effects just walking around.
Yeah, we're on Skype and I can see Ellen's little video face and she's... Looks like she's got a story to tell.
Well,
what did you do then, you stoner?
It's not in Amsterdam, although you can get those little brownie cakes in Amsterdam, can't you, that are filled with cannabis. I've never had one. So when I went to Amsterdam, I didn't dare. When I was younger, a friend of mine did produce a joint. And we were in my now husband's house at the time.
Yeah.
He shared a house with a friend of his. And this is the first time and only time that I smoked
Look
cannabis.
Look at your smirking, like, don't be embarrassed.
I'm not this embarrassed, it's just...
This is 2012.
This is 2012? Where are you? Where are you?
But yeah, this is modern times.
I'm grinning because of what I'm about to say, not because of actually smoking the joint. So anyway... I thank you for the photographs of your tongue sticking out right now.
Sorry.
I smoked the joint, not even all of it, and I ended up in my now husband's bed.
Oh, that's how you got together.
Well, no, we actually didn't get together for a while later. But clearly that's what happens to me when I smoke a joint, so suffice to say I've never had any more.
Oh, I see. Well, that's better than vomiting, isn't it?
Yeah, there is no vomiting involved.
Oh, Ellen, you are so sweet. I feel like you're just so innocent, generally. I bet you were such a goody two-shoes at school.
I don't think so, no.
No. I bet you were. I bet you were always telling tales on the office as well.
No. No, I was not a goody two-shoes at school.
I'm thinking, like, I love the smell of cannabis so much that I might see if Yankee Candle would do a special edition to tie in with the CBD movement. What do you reckon? I might tweet them now.
That is such a good idea, actually. And maybe you should just own that Acer on your hand. Just own it and be like, this is cannabis.
Honestly, but it's not. It's just an Acer.
Anyway,
innocent Acer.
What do we think about using cannabis going forward? You know, do we think legalising it would be a good thing or not?
Oh my gosh.
Big question.
It's like when someone asked me on the spot about politics.
It's a big question. Maybe our listeners could say whether they think so.
What do you think? Because you're more grown up. What's your opinion?
Because I'm older than you.
Yeah.
What do I think? I don't know enough about it to be able to comment, I don't think.
Yeah.
I know it's worked in other countries.
I guess you always see the kind of downside of it all.
Yeah.
But there are medicinal upsides. But then also if... Because it does how it makes people feel, and people then wouldn't necessarily take it in moderation, which is the best way.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I guess we're worried that society becomes a whole, you know... zombie region of stoners, but then that's also perhaps an immature way to look at it. It's not that everybody just wants to sit around and get stoned, but obviously part of the population perhaps does.
But they're going to sit around and get stoned anyway, whether it's legal or not legal. I think legalizing it medicinally under controlled environments and prescribed by the doctor, if science is proving that it really, really helps many conditions, then I don't see why we wouldn't. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know enough about it, I suppose.
And it's no different to people being drunk, is it? I guess so.
Yeah. Well, I think many some reports have said that actually drinking alcohol is worse for you than smoking cannabis.
Yeah.
But the long term effects.
Once you take the taboo out of something, it becomes a lot less popular. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As well.
Who knows? Perhaps. We'll have to see what happens. But in the meantime, of course, you can try CBD oil and teas and drinks like Botanical is produced, and that's meant to help you out, and not in a way that you're going to be, you know, stoned. You know, you won't know that.
Exactly.
It's just that it will calm you and decrease anxiety and help all kinds of different illnesses. So it's cool.
Exactly. But until I try that, I'm going to keep using my lavender
oil.
I've been using that for ages, like years and years, and it really helps me sleep well at night.
Brilliant.
You know?
That's really brilliant. Chamomile as well does that. Chamomile's great.
Yeah. But I find chamomile a bit kind of too sweet and sickly.
I quite like the
freshness of lavender.
I always think that with any kind of like medicinal approach, like herbal approach, it's always what's best for you. It's always the scent that's best for you, or it's always what works best for you. Do you know what I mean? Everyone's sort of different in that. In that way, I use lavender oil for headaches.
It helps just on your temples.
Just on my temples, absolutely brilliant. But someone else who I know drinks dandelion tea.
I find that a bit bitter and off.
It depends, I think, on how you make it.
Yeah.
You can add a bit of honey.
Depends if you have milk and sugar.
Yeah. Like a proper cup of tea. Anyway,
cool.
Super nice chatting to you.
Yeah, you too, darling.
I'm seeing your face on the screen. I can't apologise enough for actually somehow or another losing the gossip file from before, if indeed we did even do a gossip before.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
Anyway.
I like that plant on the shelf behind you. Look at it. It's like a load of green snakes.
Oh, that's from Pretty Cactus.
Yeah.
Remember, Donna gave us... gave us.
Is that the one she gifted us?
One of those is yours.
Yeah,
there you go.
Leave them.
I think we should end now because you keep cutting out, and at this moment all I can see is like my screen is frozen on Michael's forehead.
cool.
He's back.
All right then. Bye.
Okay, thanks for chatting.
No worries, see you later, darling.
bye.
Today's podcast partner is VeggiePod, the integrated all-in-one garden bed suitable for anyone interested in growing your own. You'll be amazed at how quickly your vegetables grow in a VeggiePod, and as a special offer for our listeners, VeggiePod are offering PPP subscribers 10% off any sized VeggiePod when purchased with a stand or a trolley. Simply go to veggiepod.co.uk and enter PBP10 on checkout.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Plant Based Podcast.
Have a browse of the rest of the library or hop on over to the website, which is theplantbasedpodcast.net.
You'll also find our social media links. Please connect with us and let us know about any plant-based projects that you think we should be covering on the show.
And make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you'll be the first to hear the next episode. We're releasing once a fortnight. So until next time, enjoy the world of plants.